very obvious form of it, but it's other.
There's a Rashi in Parshas Noach that tells a story, a tiny little story that is one of the most exciting, maybe favorite, some people's favorite part of the Parsha. It says that when the Mabul was over, it says, Vayishayar Ach Noach, only Noach was left, Vanov, Vishtev, and Shevanov, and it says, Vayishayar Ach Noach, the word Ach comes lema'et, to limit, to reduce. So Rashi brings down the Medrash. Why does it say Ach Noach? Because Noach was missing something. When Noach came out of the Tevi, he was missing something. Because one time, She'icher mezeino isla, even nashchay, one time he was late in bringing the food to the lion, and the lion bit him. Is anyone familiar with this story? It's a well-known story. About an hour ago, I was thinking about what to say. I texted my daughter, who teaches fourth grade. Is this part of the fourth grade curriculum? I want to know at what age the children start learning this story. Is this something that everybody grows up with? I didn't get a response yet, because I guess she's teaching.
Yeah, I knew that.
You always knew.
First grade.
It's a I was just wondering that maybe like little kids, like it's a little too graphic and scary. Like I think, you know, first graders might have nightmares from it. What?
Your son knows it?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure. I can ask him if he has enough texting. Anyway, this story, it's a well-known story. And it always struck me as being a little bit odd that the Chazal tells this story about Parshas Noach. What do they want with this? I'm working with the assumption that the Midrashim are not, right? Midrashim like these are not really about the history. I don't, you know, does it mean the Chazal had a Masayrug going back in the times of Noach, he really came out with a lion bite? I don't know, maybe, but I think it's likely that Chazal used these stories to convey to us ideas, you know, these concrete expressions really mean to be conveying something a little bit more abstract. And if Chazal talk about Noach being bitten by the lion because he was late one day with the Mazonis, that's their way of making us think about and understand some theme in the story of Noach and the Mabul and the Teva. So what's the pshat in this story? If you take a look in the Haftarah that we read of Parshas Noach, where is it? Is there a Chumash in here? The other question is Chumash. Okay. I think it's from Yeshaya. I'm not sure what Navi it's from. I think it's from Yeshaya. But there's a pasuk in the Haftarah where it says Hashem refers to his Shvua ki nishpati me'avar mei noyach oira la'aretz. Mei noyach heim zoisli, something like that. Ki nishpati me'avar mei noyach oira la'aretz. The pasuk says that I'm not bringing another Mabul because I swore that I'm not going to bring another Mabul. And in the pasuk, the term that it uses to describe a mabul is meinoyach. Ki nishbati me'avar meinoyach. Meinoyach meaning the water of noyach. And it's a little bit surprising if you think about it, because the mabul was not noyach water, it was the non-noyach water, right? Noyach was the one person that was exempted from the mabul. It was the water of everybody except for noyach. The pasuk calls it meinoyach, which seems to implicate Noach in the Mabul. And when you read Parshas Noach, you get the opposite impression that Noach was the one person that's not responsible for the Mabul. So why is it called Noach? So this question is addressed in the Zohar Kaddish. And the Zohar Kaddish reveals an answer. And as you might expect, knowing that the Zohar Kaddish is a very mystical sefer, so it's the answer is, it comes in a way that's not at all direct and straightforward. It actually has to do with unscrambling letters. And the words Mei Noach in Yeshaya are a scrambling of a word that appears in the Torah, and you're supposed to connect this word to that word and figure out what's the pshat in the pasuk in Yeshaya. The word in the Torah is the word Mechini. Mem ches nun yud. Mem noyach is mem yud nun ches. Mecheni is Memchef Nun Yud. Where does it say the term Mecheni? Does anybody know?
Moshe.
Very good. Moshe by what?
Tells Hashem.
Very good. Mecheni, thank you. Mecheni Nun Misipacha. This is after the Egel. That when the Yidden made the Egel, in Parshas Kisitsa, the Yidden made the Egel, and Hashem said, okay, that's it. I'm destroying them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you can't do that. And he davened Hashem, he begged Hashem for rachamim. And at one point in the conversation, he says, V'im, if you're not going to accept my tefillah, mecheni no misifcha asher kasafta, you should erase me from your Torah. Hashem said that I'm going to wipe out this nation, and I'm going to start all over with you, and you will be the patriarch of the nation. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no deal. Not only am I not willing to be a patriarch of a new nation, I'm not even willing to still participate in the project of this nation if you're going to destroy them. Take me out entirely. Which is a tremendous act of self-sacrifice. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said that I'm going to throw everything away to save the Bnei Yisrael. The Zayar Chadish says that the words mei noyach are the oisiyos of the word mecheni, meaning to say that noyach's that which he bears some guilt or some responsibility for the mabul is because he didn't go mecheni. He didn't do what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Noach, even though Noach is tzaddik tamim hayu b'dei reisav, and he's on a very high pedestal, but Chazal do point out this flaw in Noach, that given his status in that, his stature in that generation, he was the leading tzaddik of the generation, he had a responsibility. His responsibility was when Hashem came and said, Keit kol basar bo lefanai, hinni mashchisam es ha'aretz, Noach should have said, no, stop, wait, no, well, let's work this out. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to invoke you to make you go meet this rachamim. I'm going to ask for mercy, for forgiveness. I'm going to try. I'm going to negotiate like Moshe Rabbeinu did. But Noach apparently was missing a little bit of that quality that Moshe Rabbeinu had, of the quality of concern for others, that it's not enough that I'm good in Ruchnius. Again, we're not talking about not enough that I have a big house. And not enough that I'm a tzaddik, but I wanna save the others and help my generation improve rather than get destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendous mida of being a Nesei Ba'ol. That was Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps his most outstanding mida. Of course, we know Moshe Rabbeinu as the Nesei HaTorah. But what was he before he was the Nesei HaTorah? Meaning, why did Hashem choose him of everybody to be the Nesei HaTorah, to be the Shliach HaTikva Nesei HaTorah? What were his credentials for the job before he was chosen? What do we learn about Moshe Rabbeinu before he was chosen to be the leader of the Jewish people? We learn that Vayetzei El Achav Vayar B'Sifloisam, that he went out and he saw that the Yidden were suffering, and he, Rashi says, Nasan Einam V'Livoi Meitzer Alayem, he participated in their tzar, and he even intervened. He saw an Ishmitzri that was Maki Ish Ivri, and he went over and he said that he saved the Ivri from the Mitzri. And then he got in trouble for that, right? And he was thrown out of Mitzrayim, and he went to Midian, and he came to a well, and the exact same thing played out again. He saw a bully that was picking on some innocent victims. The Bnei Yisrael were being harassed by the other shepherds there, and he jumped up, right, and the way they tell the story to their father, he says that this Moshe Rabbeinu came by Yeshion, and he saved them. The same media again of sticking up for the bully, standing up against the bully to stick up for the victim, not being able to tolerate people being pushed around, feeling for other people's tzar, for other people's pain, for other people's suffering. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's hallmark. And that's why later on he was chosen for this leadership position, and then later on he demonstrated this media again when he said, Mecheni Nami Sifracha. So the Zohar Kaddish says that's what Noach, all of Noach's greatness was missing. There's a lot of sort of talk about this this Indian, the Rav Levi Yitzchak ben Ditshever, he says that when the pasuk says at the beginning of the parasha, Noach v'shtag tamayi b'dayaritzav etzal ikim hisalach noyach, so he says that maybe this is being alluded to already over there, etzal ikim hisalach noyach, Noach walks with God. Like Rav Levi Yitzchak, that maybe that, you know, that sounds like a beautiful thing, but maybe there's a little bit of a kitchrug in that pasuk also, that he was walking with God and not with people. That it's not enough just to walk with God all the time. If you're part of society, you have to be able to walk with the people, even if the people are on a lower madriga. But if somebody is living among people that are on a lower madriga, so he just can't tolerate the people, so he just walks with God, he can't do that. You have to be, especially if you're a leader, you have to be able to turn to the people and think about the people and think about their needs and their challenges. And if you're on a higher madriga, so you're just going to cut yourself off from them and just be with God and focus on your Shemayim and Avat Hashem and Tevye and Mitzvahs and whatever it was that Noach had to serve Hashem, that's not good enough. And so, Likim, Ezalach Noach, Veloi, Es Bnei Ha'adam, that was a Taina on Noach. Now, what happened? Hashem brought a Mabel, and the way you read the parasha, so the simple way to read the parish is that Hashem brought a Mabel, that was to, right, Hashem had a plan for the rest of the world, that was to destroy them, so he brought a Mabel to destroy them. He had a plan for Noach, that was to save him, so he built a Teva to save Noach. So what was the role of the Teva? It was just a haven, so that Noach should be spared from the Mabel. The Svarim HaKadoshim, they say that's, if you read the parish like that, you're missing a big part of the story. The Teva was not just a way of avoiding the Mabel. It wasn't just that Hashem had a plan for the world to destroy them, so Noach needed to be saved, so he made a Teva. Hashem had a plan for Noach also. And the Teva was a way of implementing that plan. Hashem wanted to destroy the world and rebuild the world. But he was rebuilding the world with a flawed character. Again, I say flawed about somebody that Terry describes as a tzaddik tamim. So obviously we mean on a subtle madriga that are way beyond our level. But okay, taking, you know, with that disclaimer, Hashem had a problem, kabiachal, that he wanted to rebuild the world, but he was starting with a flawed character. He was missing this midah that Moshe Rabbeinu excelled at, of being nice about Olam Chaveiro, thinking about other people, caring about other people. And in a sense, that means he had the flaw of being too self-centered. Right? It's not a nice word to use, but again, I mean on some level. And that level was serious enough that if you're talking about rebuilding society, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, Pasuk says, that if you're talking about rebuilding society, the bedrock is that there's a value of Chesed, of Noiseh Ba'oil, of being other focused as opposed to self-focused. And so Jerusalem was faced with a dilemma. I want to destroy the world, yes. Save Noach, okay. But then I need to rebuild the world with Noach, but Noach is not really up to that test. So Hashem had a plan. And that was the Teva. The Teva was not just a refuge, a haven for Noach, but it was a school for Noach. It was a training ground. He said, I'm putting you into the Teva, and you should take hundreds of animals, and you should be responsible for feeding each one and bringing them their food at their right time. And you're going to spend the next year working so hard, focused on everyone else's needs and everyone else's schedule without having a moment to stop and just catch your breath and, you know, indulge in a little bit of self-care. There was no self-care for Noach on the Teva. If you're responsible for feeding all the animals, then it's, and each one has a different schedule and each one has a different diet, it's a full-time job. And the purpose of that job was that was going to craft Noach, who was going to change him from being a Noach to being a Moshe Rabbeinu, to being somebody that's roi for the world to be built from, that he's going to have the midah of chesed that we could then have a olam chesed yibaneh. Now, if a guy is, let's say, you know, pre-med, he wants to go to medical school, so he's taking a lot of sciences, but he also has to take a Western Lit course, because that's a core, and you can't go through college without doing a little Western literature. And he's working on Shakespeare, and he really can't make heads or tails out of it, and he gets a C on his Western literature course. So then he comes to his advisor and he says, what should I do? Should I drop out? Should I change something? So the advisor might very well say, you know, don't worry about it, because Western literature, look, you know, I mean, if you flunk, you flunk, that's big trouble. But Western literature is really not going to affect how well you're going to do in medical school. In medical school, they're not going to care about Shakespeare. So it's a flaw, but it's not a flaw in your major. If it's a flaw, but it's not in your major, that's okay. You could go on with that. But if you got a C in organic chemistry, then you come to your advisor and you say, what do I do? Then your advisor says, maybe you're not cut out for medical school. Maybe you should switch tracks, because you can't go on to medical school if you can't handle the science. What the Medrash means to be telling us when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu got bitten by the lion because he was late once with the Mezainis, it means to be revealing this whole aspect of the Teva and say that the feeding of the animals was not the Western literature in a pre-med. It was a major. That's what he was there for. And the whole purpose of Noach being in the Teva, Hashem could have saved Noach a lot of ways. Hashem could have put him on the moon for a year and then take him back and put him on planet Earth. The reason why he put him on the table was to feed the lion. That's what he was there for, and therefore there was no room for error. That's the pshat in the Medrash, and it says that Vayishar Ach Noach, that the one time they were late with the Mezainis, he got bitten for it. Meaning he got punished because there's no room for error, because that was his major. His point was to develop into the Baal Chesed. We're not in the Teva setting that Noach was, but we all have to keep in mind that Chesed is our major. it's not a small thing. It's for everybody that, you know, that's supposed to be a part of a society. So Kimeth Aleph Noach is nice. It's a shvach, but it's not sufficient. Espenei Adam also his Aleph Noach is necessary, and that's the takeaway. Obviously, not to find fault with Noach, who was a tzaddik tamim way beyond our madrigas, but yet Chazal give us these little windows to get insight into what's important for us, that to be mischat, to focus on being there for others, living for other people, and being focused on other people's needs and other people's tzareis and what other people need help with. That's everybody's major. Okay.
He's making me nervous. I'm taking Orgo this semester.
Are you?